What's up, guys? Welcome to the sesh. Today, I got a special guest, Dr. Jacob Howell. How you doing, man? I've been wanting to meet you for a long time, man.
I really appreciate it. I'm excited to be here. Thank you so much. Euvia, which is in Greek, blessings. So happy Thanksgiving, by the way. I know we're a day right before Thanksgiving. I know everybody's doing their pre-Black Friday shopping. It's crazy out there, but stay safe and hopefully you find some great deals. Shop Mercedes, by the way, the outlet.
It's busy, man. So for everybody that doesn't know you, give them a little bit of background of yourself.
Well, I am an educator at the city at Mercedes. Mercedes ISD. I'm also a city commissioner there. I'm a volunteer firefighter. I'm very big on the community. I do a public service, missionary work as well. Author, writer, entrepreneur, you know, whatever. Yeah, I do real estate as well. So I do a little bit of everything, but what I'm all about is helping the community, helping people, and just trying to find creative ways to help people. And also, just I'm a businessman.
Right. Let me ask you this.
I would say modern day, what they say, like a Shakespearean gentleman, Renaissance man.
Renaissance man. Let me ask you this, man. I've been in business since 2015, and one of the things that I know I lack is leadership. And you're huge into leadership. So right. I was hoping that you can give me a master class into leadership, especially with the book that you wrote, Positioning Your Team to Win. I think when I was looking through it and I was reading some of it, it's very interesting because I lack a lot of those characteristics and qualities that I've been trying to get. And and maybe you can shed some light on it for me.
Well, leadership, I always feel there's a scripture in the Bible that says like this. It's many are called, but few are chosen. And so even though many are called to lead, and you can be part of that, a team, and to do great things, but very few are chosen and have that calling or that drive to be a leader. In the book, I even talk about when I was working on my PhD as well, even in the theology and philosophical studies, when you study different leaderships, but even studying wolves, in leadership and wolves, they give leadership roles to different pairings, different wolves. Even the beta wolf at one point leads a little bit. And so not everybody can lead and not everybody wants to lead. It takes a special individual to lead, but don't be afraid to lead. And you can still be part of that leading team, right? And so that's why I'm big on team, because I feel that you can do well and do more as a team, just like in any sport. Being a coach there as well, being part of the St. Louis Cardinals organization, being part of a Big 12 championship at the University of Texas, being on there on their strength staff and academic mentoring staff as well. We're big on team. Mm-hmm. And so, but if you can learn in general what leadership's about, that's great. And there's all kinds of books on leadership. And there's different styles of leadership as well. And so you gotta figure out, okay, what fits you or what you like best.
I would even venture to say that in the Rio Grande Valley, there's a different style of leadership. Can you kind of touch on that, where it's the Rio Grande Valley versus like the upper Texas and then the nation?
Right. So I would say here, leadership, I think it's more... And like I said, it's different, like you're saying. Some are a little bit more conventional leadership, and then there's more where it's a little more advanced. And I feel sometimes there's more of a dictator-type leadership. And I feel
here in the Valley?
Somewhat. Not everybody. And I don't want to be, I would say, knock down anybody down. It's sometimes, but I do see that a lot, where it's either my way or the highway. If you don't like what we're doing, you can step away, or it's this is the way we're going to do it. And there's a lot of stubbornness, and I feel you got to get innovative. And that's why I'm big on innovation. I'm big on technology. I'm big on just catching up on the newest and best trends and what works best for you. There's okay to have conventional ways, but it's like an old, wagon wheel or whatever they say. They always say that the old phrase, you know, you can't invent the wheel.
Yeah.
Right? Why invent the wheel?
Why reinvent it?
Mm-hmm. But I'm not driving around in a wooden wheel. Are you?
No.
No. What's now? They got rubber. They've innovated the tires. There's so different trends of the tires. So innovation is good. Same thing with leadership. Same thing with knowledge. Same thing with education. Find what works best. What are the newer, best ways to work as a team, to be a better leader? What works? Yeah. And if you're in other areas of upstate or even out of state, that's what you'll see. You'll see a lot of working together, teamwork, and even, okay, kind of having those conversations, those deep conversation of what works best, what's going on. And in the book, I talk about what the SWOT method: strength, weaknesses, opportunities, and threat. There's nothing wrong. And Apple uses it. Tesla uses it. Nike uses it. Leaders will ask, okay, what's working? What's not working, team?
Mm-hmm. It's a very interesting thing, man, because I feel like, for me specifically, my style, and it could be wrong, mm-hmm. but it's helped me progress. Is like, I like the way I do things, right? I mm-hmm. do things very efficiently. It took me a long time to figure those things out. And when I try to train someone, they have their own way doing it. So I sometimes get frustrated. It's like, no, I want it this way. Is that a bad thing?
That's not necessarily a bad thing. It's if that's your way of doing things, it may work for you, it may not. But there's nothing wrong with maybe trying out or picking other people's minds. And kind of like a lot of time, what you do here in this podcast, you've spoken to a lot of leaders, a lot of great individuals. I see the podcast online and on social media, and you bring a lot of great speakers. And I feel you can learn from those great speakers as well. I mean, that itself is a knowledge base. That's a resource base itself. So even talking to individuals, they have, and position your team to win is picking up the brain of another employee, of another team member, and see what advice or what may be working, what may not be working. How do they feel? How can you use some of those and adapt to your skills, to your leadership, and make it work?
Yeah.
A lot of the times, it's communication as well.
Yeah. I feel like a lot of times, just laying down the expectations of what you're going to achieve with what your business is, mm-hmm. is something that most people don't do.
Right.
Do you see that a lot?
Not so much. I mean, like I said, everybody has their own style, and I totally respect that. But I feel like there's nothing wrong with trying different things or researching and getting educated on what true leadership is about. And true leadership about is helping everybody succeed as a team. Yeah. So I'm big on team. Than yourself. Even in real estate, you know, I work with another individual, even another team, and even though I might split my sales with another gentleman or so, but we get more as a team, right, going out there and catching more fish with a bigger net than I would just catching a
single
fish,
yeah,
or two.
Yeah.
And it was the same concept.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. What are the key, I guess, characteristics that a leader needs to have?
Well, I would say first you need to know, you find yourself. You got to know what methods, what type of leadership are you all about. The second thing is you got to have discipline. Discipline in yourself, discipline in what you're doing, because it's like they say, lead by example.
Right.
And if you ain't leading by example, if you want other people to do what you want to do, but you're not doing it yourself, same thing with fitness, right? You're big on fitness. I'm big on fitness. If I was not doing things right, eating all kinds of crazy food, maybe not looking like, you know, a fitness person, but yet I'm over here trying to tell somebody how to do fitness stuff and a healthy lifestyle,
they wouldn't take you seriously.
They're not going to take the same thing.
Yeah.
If somebody is not successful in a business and they can't even keep their house or business in order, how in the world are you going to tell someone how to run a business?
Right.
How are you going to tell someone the X's and O's on how to run their business and economics of the way they do their finances and so out? It's not going to work. You got to lead by example. So you got to believe in yourself. You got to look at yourself. What's your beliefs? And you got to lead by example.
Yeah. Yeah. And I would even go as far as to say that for me, for example, when I'm doing like my digital marketing campaigns and advertising campaigns, it doesn't work for everybody, but for the ones it works for, it works really well. And I found that I can't tell everybody like, this is going to work for you, this is going to work for you. Because at one point I was giving a guarantee to everybody. And then I found out really fast that sometimes it just doesn't work for some people.
Right. It's about adaptation as well. It's failure and success. And of course, we've been talked about. We're both big on SpaceX,
absolutely,
innovation, and even like again, marketing and pushing the book here as well. Is I talk about SpaceX in the book, and that's what blown up rockets to me is about. As other people may criticize blown up rockets, in the book, I talk about how blown up rockets, watching those rockets go up, just recently getting blown up as well. Here, if y'all saw that one, it's one step closer to success. And same thing with business. It's Henry Ford, for example, Einstein, Edison. How many light bulbs did the guy blow up? It took him over 100,000 times to get the right thing. Same thing. It may or may not work. It's trial and error. But every time a rocket gets blown up, every time there is a negative a balance or something on your spreadsheet in business or something, okay, what can you learn from it? How can we improve? Don't take it as a loss. Same thing with football. When you lose in those scrimmages, you scrimmage in the game, what do? You regroup, you learn, you watch film, and you get what works for you, what worked, what didn't work, and you make a new game plan. Same thing with business. There's not a simple or straight method to it. It's about adaptation. Yeah. And that's the great thing about it. What works for you may not work for someone else, but what we can do is take, as a team, as other individuals, is, okay, what worked with this guy? Take notes. What worked for this guy? We can take pieces.
Yeah.
I've heard one gentleman say one time is the best thing that I can tell you, Jake, is to be successful is be a great thief. I said, great thief? What are you talking about? I didn't steal nothing. He said, take and steal ideas from everybody you can, listen to them, and write them down. And because get their knowledge and make it a little bit of your own and add up your inventory. And he was right. You know, I wasn't necessarily steal the idea, but it was more of just picking people's brain, get what works for them, and figuring out, say, you know what, that worked.
Yeah.
And that's what it's about, just trial and error, getting ideas, and kind of making it your own, adapting it to you.
Yeah, let's touch on that piece of the super heavy rocket right there.
Man, it's crazy.
My buddy Curtis got that. So this, look, you're about to burn this.
Yeah, I'm about to burn it. Look at that. It's like,
it does nothing. So this was on the super heavy rocket, and I think you touched on that perfectly because when it blew up, I was looking at social media, and everybody was like, wow, that's stupid.
Right.
They're dumb. I was like, well, you don't get it. Like, they have to. They have to figure it out.
They're tests.
They're billion-dollar tests.
Billion-dollar tests, but they're one step closer to success.
Yeah.
One step closer to success. Every blown-up rocket is an opportunity. They're getting closer to getting to the Mars, to getting to wherever they need to do to make that successful goal, their mission, their vision.
Yeah, to push humanity forward. I find it fascinating that SpaceX is right here in our backyard, man. Can you touch on that?
I love it. I know not so long ago I was in the news. I mean, I'm known as one of those innovative, crazy commissioners, politician guys. I don't consider myself a politician. I consider myself a public servant. But Elon Musk, SpaceX, if you're watching anybody, any tech companies, SpaceX, Tesla, come on over to Mercedes. Let's talk something out. We got plenty of opportunities. We got land. Let's figure it out. Come to Mercedes. And that's pretty much when I was on the news not so long, about a year or two ago. He was like, this guy's crazy. This guy's trying to bring Elon Musk to Mercedes. This guy's trying to launch rockets out of Mercedes. This guy's trying to bring Tesla to Mercedes.
But is that so far-fetched? No.
I don't think it. I think we're right in the middle. And what's wrong with that? It's a lot of people liked it. A lot of people, I mean, I got a lot of hurrahs for it. A lot of great younger generation obviously loved it. Some of the older generation was great. Obviously, there is a lot of conservative people in the Valley, even in Mercedes. And there's nothing wrong with that. I think we could... You can get the both of both worlds, right? The best of both worlds. But I think we need innovation, and moving forward is key. you know, we talked about the tires, right? We don't drive around in wooden tires anymore, in chariots and you know that stuff. It's the same method of transportation, but it's improved. Same thing with business methods.
Yeah.
We can improve. So SpaceX is doing wonders, obviously, with their rockets. And then them being in the Valley, it's put the Valley as well more on the map, more recognition. And I'm just trying to do the same thing for the Mid-Valley and for Mercedes. There's opportunities out there. I mean, the future is endless. We're just touching base on things. And, I mean, who knows? I mean, you look at the growth of the Valley.
Yeah.
You look at the growth.
It's tremendous.
It's tremendous. And it's been in a short period of time. So you could imagine, I mean, in another 20, 30 years from now, I mean, hopefully we still look younger.
Yeah, for real. I think by that time, we'll be able to crack the code of lifelong.
Right?
We'll be able to live to 200, 300 or something.
But you imagine the growth of the Valley. I still think that Far Bridge will still be under construction, by the way. But
that's
another thing. But yeah, innovation is good. We need innovation. And I talk about that. If you talk in the book, I know most business people, for example, and many people, it's not a new idea, you know, that they've criticized, but they use it, is Blockbuster and Netflix. It should have been, right now we should be saying, hey, let's do Blockbuster and chill. And I did a presentation at the Business of Entrepreneurship, and those guys were cracking up. And like, you mean Netflix and chill? I said, no, Blockbuster and chill. Like, what do you mean? Well, because if you may or may not know, if you don't know about a little bit more of leadership and business, you've done your research, Blockbuster had the opportunity to acquire Netflix because they got approached and they said, nah, we're okay. We're good. At the time, Blockbuster was number one in videos, rentals, and all that. They were all, we don't need what is this streaming stuff?
Right.
We don't need this stuff. Eh, we're good. And now look what happened to them. I think there's like a documentary, there's only like one Blockbuster left,
yeah,
if any. And look at Netflix. I mean, hell, I was watching Netflix last night.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing, man, because the technology
streaming and all that. Yeah.
Technology has pushed the advancement of everything. Like, yes. I use ChatGPT every day now. Like, I don't think people really understand how fast technology travels. And you touched on something very interesting about the demographics of Mercedes. So you talked about the younger people and the older people. What are the mentality? I'm interested in this. What is the mentality of the younger crowd?
The younger crowd wants that innovation. They want growth. They want that boom. And I think some of the older crowd is, well, they do want the infrastructure, a lot of things fixed. I mean, you've been to Mercedes. Your family's from Mercedes as well.
Yeah.
And you know, we need a lot of improvement, just like many of the smaller communities. And we're big on that. But my whole thing is this. The bigger businesses that we bring in, the more revenues we bring in, those revenues will go into fixing and improving your infrastructure. We can still have that, I would say, the conservative neighborhoods and areas. I mean, you go to McAllen, there's still areas.
Yeah, tons, yeah.
Of conservative neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. Same thing in Mercedes. We can do that. But the newer generation, they want that innovation. They want the boom. They want all that stuff. The older ones are a little bit timid.
Yeah.
They're a little bit scared. They're afraid of losing our local businesses. They're afraid of the growth. What's going to happen? Are they going to come knock down our neighborhoods and stuff? And that's not necessarily the case.
Yeah.
I think we can embrace, and we need to learn to embrace the innovation, the technology to improve the society and to improve the community.
Yeah. You know, the first time that I heard when you popped on my radar was when you were talking about cryptocurrencies for Mercedes.
Cryptocurrency, yes.
I was like, there's the guy that knows the future of Mercedes,
yeah,
man. So can you kind of touch on what you were talking about at that time? Because I've been a huge proponent of Bitcoin.
I'm just checking my Robinhood right now. It's a little bit green.
It's green. Up. It's a good thing.
I know we've talked about it a little bit. So yeah, cryptocurrency, another thing that I was kind of on the news about. And, you know, you take some criticism. Some are excited about it. Some a little scared about it. Mercedes was on the news and on some magazines, some crypto magazines, and got some light on being one of the first cities, especially the first one in the Valley and one of the first ones in the state and very few in the nation that was trying to use or accept cryptocurrency as payment. I put that on the agenda, and other commissioners and
mayor. What did they say? What were their thoughts?
They probably thought I was a little crazy, like most people. But it's a good crazy, right? Right. Respectful. They, you know, it's conservative. Again, Mercedes is very conservative. Those guys are great guys, kind of conservative, but they were respectful, willing to listen to the idea. And it's something where we actually approved it. We approved it, waiting for to I guess the way they delayed the pitch count was to while we looked further into it, researched it a little bit further, but we'll approve it. And so we're trying to accept cryptocurrency as payment there at the city of Mercedes. And at some point after they finish researching it, hopefully we can get it on. In fact, I need to put it on the agenda and to kind of seal the deal. But I think more cities should do it. I think the fear is because of the ups and downs of the crypto.
Yeah, the volatility. Let me ask you this. How hard is it for a city entity to invest in, like, let's say, Bitcoin?
It's almost illegal.
Really?
It's almost illegal in because it's not your money. It is the taxpayers' money. And that's something which I looked into, and I totally understand. You know, I wouldn't want to risk other people's money in that because of the, like you're saying, the ups and downs, the way the market is. But accepting it is different. So let's just say I came in with my crypto wallet or whatever, and I wanted to pay my light bill. Okay, I would just go ahead and transfer that to a third party. Let's just say BitPay, transferred over to BitPay. Let's say Mercedes, we hosted. That was the server. We had a BitPay account, and all they would do is I would pay BitPay my light bill of let's just say $200, and then BitPay would turn around pay the city of Mercedes into cash, USD.
It just converts
to $200, right? And I think the worrisome or the issue was okay. Well, what if we accepted your $200 a day, but then tomorrow it's $150 or $100. And no, that's not the way it works. We already did the transaction at the time of the trend, at the time of the market.
At
it
that
was $200
price.
And it already sealed.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, it's an interesting thing because I was thinking about back in 2014 when McAllen overpaid $1.1 million for the holiday parade. And I did an assessment. I was like, if they had invested in 2014, at the time, Bitcoin was $350. If they had invested the $1.1 million today, in today's 2023, it would be worth $116 million.
Yes.
So that's what I was asking about. How can a city entity invest in
it? Because they would just have to put it, I guess, to vote with your public, and they can vote on it. Say, you know what, public, this is what we're thinking of doing. And they would have to be like a special item, a special poll, a special, I guess, election, and it would be on the ballot if that's what somebody wanted to.
So it would have to be through the general consensus of the community.
Yes.
And they're unlikely to approve it because they just don't have education or information.
But I think there's possibly maybe other ways. Don't get me wrong. Legally, we want to do everything legally.
Absolutely.
And ethically, and that's what I'm big on that as well. So, but I think investing into the community, investing into businesses, investing into the future of your town is critical. And that's what I think every public official and person that's invested into their community should be doing, is thinking ahead. How can we invest and make our city better? What can we do? Not now, but do something now for 5, 10, 20 years from now for our future.
Yeah, because, I mean, Mercedes is going to be around for a long time. So
come to Mercedes. Shop Mercedes, by the way.
Absolutely. It's interesting, too, because I did a research on... So McAllen has a $661 million budget for 2023 to 2024. If they were to invest 1% into Bitcoin today, the astronomical... So if they were to invest 1%, it would be $6.1 million.
Okay.
Over the next 1 to 2 years, that can appreciate if Bitcoin goes up to 150,000 to even 100,000 or 50,000, because it's at 37 right now. So that's why I'm super interested in how a city can invest in it, but the right way.
The right way.
Yeah.
And I would think it would take some financial analysis, some financial experts, which most cities hire to
but
help
they,
with
but
the
they would just shoot that down because of the volatility, right?
Probably, but I'm sure there's some type of some type of way, right? Another way besides the ballot that maybe it can be done. Yeah. You know, things change all the time. But on the lap side of it, you got to think, okay, as a community member, think, well, I'm going to invest some of this money, and are they just going to throw it away?
Yeah.
Is it going to go down? I mean, they're going to be worried. They're going to be worried. But I mean, let's be honest. I mean, there's some cities that have made some horrible, and I'm going to be straight honest with you, some horrible investments.
Yeah.
And even there's a lot of dirty politicians as well out there as well.
Yeah.
Not all of them are bad, but there's been some, maybe because those very few, and there's some out there, they've given everyone else almost a bad name, and we're always under a microscope.
Yeah. As well. Let me preface this by saying, never take investment advice from me specifically, because I am the person that with my business partner back in 2020, when we were investing heavily in NFTs,
yeah,
and we bought digital land, we bought a ton of yeah. NFTs.
NFTs have kind of,
yeah,
and they're going up again a little bit.
Yeah, they're starting to go up, but we spent he spent $27,000 on NFTs with the guidance of me, right? Mm-hmm. And if we had put that into Bitcoin today, it would have been worth $239,000. So yeah, sorry Rob. But that's the thing, that's the volatility. If you're willing to risk, you get big returns, and if you don't, well, then that's just how it is.
Look, I'm big on risks as well, and I think it takes some risks as well, right? I don't like to risk other people's monies, don't get me wrong, but I think as a whole, there needs to be some type of risk involved. You know, I always tell, even during my election, if you want a guy that's going to swing for home runs, I'm your guy. Babe Ruth, great example. I'm big on sports. Obviously, I'm a coach. And Babe Ruth, if number one, he was the number one guy, strikeout king, number one. But the positive side of it is what? He was the home run king. He took so many swings, missed. No one really talks too much about that. They talk mm-hmm. about what his home runs. He took a lot of risks. In order to hit those home runs, you're going to have to take those big swings sometimes. So I think even in business. But I think now you got to make it be smarter. You got to be calculated. They got to be calculated risks.
Yeah.
Calculated. And I think a lot of these big businesses, that's what they do as well. You got to be smart about it.
Yeah. If you really think about it, like over the long term, there's not that many great businesses. Like if you go over 100 years, there's probably like four businesses that have lasted that long. So
it's about adaptation, adapting technology. I mean, and yes, it's Sears, for example. In fact, this maintenance, we're talking about I was running a little late. Maintenance guy came to my house for Sears. And we're like, Sears, man. A Sears appliance guy came over, like, where is the next local Sears? Well, they kind of work out of remotely, believe it or not, because there's no Sears anymore.
Yeah.
And Sears used to be huge. I remember going as a kid to the mall, my dad getting me a G.I. Joe or Transformer there at Sears. Everybody would get their appliances, everything's at Sears. There's no more Sears. You know, if there is, I mean, they're rare.
Yeah.
But a lot of those guys work remotely, do their things or whatever. So It's about adaptation. It's about.
Let me ask you this. I've always been curious. When I was driving up to Austin the other day in San Marcos, the outlets out there, they're completely empty and bare. Like, what happens to that land? Who pays for that?
Well, that's where the community that took a hit. You see, there was some investment made into that land. Even like going to Corpus, even that area, it's like. It's kind of emptied out, yeah. And that was a nice little area.
Yeah, and it didn't last very long.
It was right near the ballpark, and it wasn't even that long ago. But they just shipped out and left. And even for a while, even the Mercedes, we were kind of getting worried. We were trying to like bring in businesses, and we've lasted. We've survived a lot of storms. But yes, unfortunately, a community takes the hit. The taxpayer base takes a hit. That's why it's very important for leadership. And I talk about it in the book. And it's crazy. It sounds crazy. Bad leadership can kill you. Bad leadership can kill you. And you're like, Well, in the book, I talk about it, and it was funny because it was during when that Titanic, mm-hmm. that submarine was going looking for the Titanic, yeah. And I was just finishing up the book. I talk about it. Bad leadership. In the book, I talk about how the captain and his lieutenants and thing of the ship. I did a little research, obviously. They failed in many levels to do what was right for the passengers of the Titanic. He was in charge. He was the leadership. And what happened? All those people, a lot of people died. They sank the ship pretty much. A huge. So just think of the Titanic as a huge company or a city. Bad leadership can not only can kill you, bad leadership can destroy a community. It can destroy a business. It's crazy. That's why leadership is vital and important to have the right leadership in place.
And that goes right in hand with 10 to 12 million businesses are going to close every single year. So what are some advice that you can give these businesses to weather the storm, to last another year, to last another 5 years, another 10 years? What can you tell them?
I would say just collaboration. Collaboration with your leaders. Collaboration with your business partners. Collaboration with the head honchos, right? The big wigs on top. What are we doing to prepare ourselves? They're in the city of Mercedes, for instance. About a year or two ago, when there was a rumor of maybe potentially another pandemic coming in, I put in the agenda. I said, okay, I want a financial and COVID, another COVID or pandemic plan in place. What did we learn during the pandemic that we could adapt now and make some type of blueprint of if we get hit with another pandemic, if we get hit with some financial instability, what can we do to help our small businesses? What can we do to make sure that we're not losing our city employees and we're still be able to run our city?
Yeah.
You need to have those what ifs. A lot of people don't like to talk about those conversations. I think you need to have those what ifs conversation. If you're in school, whether you're in business, even with your family, what if, there's nothing wrong with the what if questions. You got to have a plan. Scratch that. You got to have a plan of action. What's going to be your business plan? What's going to be your plan of action to be successful if or what if there's another pandemic? What if we get in some financial issues? What if things ain't going good? Same thing. And again, it starts with leadership. Make sure you have the right leadership and a collaboration and those talks in place and a business plan in place to be successful. Be able to adapt. Be able to use innovation. And that's what it's about. You got to have those conversations, that teamwork. Everybody has to be involved, just like that pack of wolves. Yeah. They hunt together. They eat together. Same thing with the business. Yes, they have leaders, but you got to work as a team.
Yeah.
And we're either going to go down sinking like the Titanic as a team, or we're going to sail that ship away.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. I feel like nowadays it's very hard to find mentors and if they even exist. Do you feel the same or?
I do. I think there's very few positive, good mentors nowadays. And I think having a mentor is important. I think finding the right guys is important, or girl. Right. I mean, not to be sexist or anything, because there's a lot of course, females, business, strong minded females that know, very smart, that know what the heck they're doing and very successful. Nothing wrong with picking their brain. And a lot of them, many of them can outwit men. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. I mean, there's a lot of great females that are nowadays taking great leadership roles where years past, because they were a female, they were overlooked. So there's a lot of great, smart females out there, and great, you know, God bless them, continue to bless them in their minds. And that's why we need other females, and being a dad of daughters, finding and looking up to those ladies so they can have those positive role models, those positive mentors. But I think finding mentors has been difficult. But it's important to find a mentor and picking their brains. But I'll tell you this, and I'll throw you a curveball. Even finding not a good mentor and picking his brain. If I was a MLB pitcher, mm-hmm. I would go find a Nolan Ryan. I would go find a Nolan Ryan. What works for him? What worked? What can I use? What did he do to succeed? How could he help me? But I would also find a guy that didn't make it very much. Was getting hit off almost every other pitch.
Yeah.
Probably was in the majors maybe 5 days, 10 days. What didn't work? Because I feel like you can learn, again, absolutely, from the negative guys.
Yeah, you're right, because where I work out, shout out to Mike at BDA, he trains Aaron Nixon, which plays for the Yankees.
Oh, yeah, yes.
Young
yes,
kid,
yes.
21-year-old, and I get to work out next to him,
UT
man.
UT guy, yeah, UT guy.
I get to work out next to him. As like, I admire his work ethic, man. This guy is a beast. Yes. And I'm in there complaining about lifting heavy weights, and this guy's just doing it, boom, no matter what. Every single day, he was calling Mike when he was in, I think, just coming back from the holidays. He's like, hey, Mike, you're going to be at the gym? I want to train. He's like, yeah, when are you going to get here? He's like, I'll get here later today. Can we train today?
Yeah.
That's the mentality that I saw to you. I was like, wow.
It's a different mindset. Yeah. It's a winning mindset, which is another book, but it's about having that winning mindset. And that's what those, a lot of those positive mentors, a lot of, even to be successful, it's a mindset.
Does that come from like being brought up that way, or just mentally being in that company with people that are the same way?
In my opinion, because I can only speak for myself and observing other people, is I can't tell you necessarily it's innate, right? It's brought into you, but I don't think it's something like that is, in my opinion, right? I feel something like that is learned upon, right? I'm going to say you're born a winner. We're all kind of born a winners in a way. We think about the miracle of conception, but I just feel like you learn. You learn and you adapt, and that winning mindset has to come from a drive, from a will.
Yeah.
And if you don't have that drive and that will to be successful and to be able to take those hits, those bad days, because there's not every day you're going to feel good in any sport, in business, no matter what. But that consistency, and you've talked about in some of those podcasts,
yeah,
of being consistent. The consistency, the discipline, the willingness and drive to be successful is going to have to come from something from within.
Yeah.
What's your drive? What is your drive? And you're going to have to ask yourself that. You have to look in the mirror and say, do I want this? What is it going to take?
What is it about that most people won't take the action for it?
I'll tell you straight up. It's the hits. It's the bad days. It's the rainy days. It's the stormy days. That's what it's about. I remember the first day when I got into my PhD program, or went back to get my PhD program. And I got all my stuff, got the email. I got my first assignments. I said, are you kidding me? I almost cried. In fact, I'm not gonna lie to you. I cried pretty much. I said, "What in the world did I get into?" And I had to check myself. I called the professor.
And that's because you have a family, you have a business, you're a commissioner, you're juggling.
I was like, and some of the words that he told me and encouraged me when I talked to the dean and my professor was like, "Look, how bad do you want it? What is it that you're gonna? Do you really want it?" You're going to have to chip away at it. But if this is really what you want to do, you're going to have to put your faith in God and do it. Because you have the will. You could have the drive to do it, but you're going to have to search down, son. And that's what I did. And I feel a lot of people are not willing to go through that pain, to go through those drive, those bad days, those stormy days, rainy days, to get to where they want to get.
Yeah.
And even in the business, is every day going to be a great day? No. So there might be some slow days. Are you willing to get through the slow days to get through the busy days, the red hot days?
Well, I'll tell you this. The one thing that lifting weights taught me was discipline, because before that, I didn't get to any results for at least 6 months, and it took me 6 months to get some type of decent results. And I was like, oh, this is what it's about. So I figured like 2 to 3 years down the line, if I just keep showing up and not ever stopping, I'll get the body that I have in my head.
Right. So, and it's funny that you talk about that, and interesting, because what's coming up, holidays and then the new year. I was a personal trainer, strength coach for many years, kind of still you know, of course, take care of myself as the best that I can and give it advice and some consultation on that. But I'll tell you this, as a secret, as a personal trainer, as a business personal training consultant that would do as well, is the New Year resolution. It's huge for gyms, huge for people. That's one of the biggest money makers. Well, I'll tell you the secret is, a lot of those businesses, why do you think they have those $10 deals, the no fees, and all that? Hook them in. Why? Because they know, the research shows, and it's been done by a Stanford research. Stanford did a study on it. And I remember talking about this one time to somebody, is they know that, well, I'll tell you this real quick. How it takes about 4 weeks, 3 to 4 weeks to finally get hypertrophy, to finally start seeing some growth, right? If you know about the muscle cells, the growth. The
hypertrophy. And if you're obese like I was, you don't even see that.
Right. you don't see it automatically, but internally it starts adjusting. It takes 3 to 4 weeks, sometimes even 5 weeks. Well, they have all these deals, but guess what? That's when most people, the majority of people, would quit. Mm-hmm. They quit right before you're going to start seeing results. Right before the tide starts to change, what happens? You quit. And they're counting on that because they give you all these great deals. They know that in 3 or 4 weeks, all these people that just came in for the New Year's resolution, they're going to be out the door.
And because
they
know they're not willing. Keeps coming in.
Right. They taking your money, and that's it. Because they know you're not willing to put in the work. They know you don't have the self-discipline and drive to do it. Now, are they hoping you are? Yes. But they know that research and data shows. They're not dumb. They go by the research. They go by data analysis. And they know that, look, we're going to get flooded with people, but isn't a clear out. Because you imagine all the gym with all these great deals and all that coming in. Nobody fits all at once in the gym. Right. There's no way. But the revenues and their spreadsheets show otherwise. Of course, you're still paying your memberships. You're hooked up with contracts and all this other stuff.
Yeah. And that's where I found the accountability aspect of having a trainer is invaluable, because he keeps you accountable. And if you don't learn how to be accountable for yourself, then you really need someone to keep you accountable.
Right. And now that you're talking about accountability, there's a chapter in the book. And again, am I trying to pitch the book?
Yes. Please do, man.
I'm trying to pitch the book right here. Position your team to win. But in the book, one of my favorites is on chapter 8. And on chapter 8, I talk about Michael Jordan. Everybody knows the GOAT. Mm-hmm. Michael Jordan. He made people around him better. Tom Brady, what do the guys do? He goes to Tampa. He's in New England, win championships. He goes to Tampa, win a championship. Those guys make people better. Well, in game 6 of the NBA Finals in 1997, he had the game against the Utah Jazz. I remember seeing that game with my dad. God, you know, great man. God rest his soul in peace. But sitting outside barbecuing, we had the TV outside. Michael Jordan had the game-winner shot against the Utah Jazz. What does he do? He passes it over to unknown, at the time, Steve Kerr. Steve Kerr. Who had heard of Steve Kerr? Steve Kerr takes the game-winning shot, wins the game, locks it in. Bulls win another championship. Did he trust Steve Kerr? Yeah. If he didn't trust Steve Kerr, if he would have not held Steve Kerr accountable in practice, in all the other games that they played, behind the scenes, he would not have passed it to Steve Kerr. Not only was Steve Kerr trusted to take the game when he shot by Michael Jordan, but I'm sure he wasn't going to be accountable whether he missed it, that shot, or made the shot. You got to take accountability for your actions, and as a team. And as a leader, we talked about the leadership. That's one thing, as one skill as well, is about accountability. I think a lot of times we're not accountable for what we do. We're not accountable for our team. We're not accountable for our business, and that needs to change. The successful businesses, the successful people, held not only themselves to a higher standards of accountability, but they hold other people accountable for their actions. Yeah. It's about trust and accountability.
Yeah. Let me ask you this before we finish off the podcast. I believe in health, wealth, success, happiness. But I never understood purpose. Like, I didn't find purpose until like the past 3 years. And people ask me, like, how did you find your purpose? Let me ask you first, how do people find purpose?
Well, I believe that it's something that is something innate. That is something spiritually and in psyche, which is in mind, and soma in Greek, which is the mind and body. And that's something that you're going to have to ask yourself. That's something spiritually that you're going to have to ask yourself, something that you're going to have to find your purpose. I feel having, you know, being big on having the PhD in leadership in theology and in philosophy is something that I realized that I had a dream. You know, my father came to me in a dream and seek and you shall find. I think everybody at some point in your life has a purpose, but you have to find your purpose. You have to find your drive. And I can't tell you what your purpose is. You got to find, you have to go on your little personal journey. Mm-hmm. And in life, whatever, however you may find it, and seek and find your purpose. Find your drive. What makes you happy? But is it something that is just happiness, going to the clubs, dancing? Or is it happiness and, or you know what, you have a purpose and a drive to make your community better, to yeah. make businesses better, to make your family better, to do something. I feel everybody has a drive and a purpose. I feel like we're not just put on here for a waste, because I talk about the miracle of conception, but that's something you're going to have to go on your own personal spiritual journey and find.
Yeah, and that's what I did, because for a long time, and I have a family, I have a business, I do relatively well, but I lacked purpose. So one day I just decided, you know what, this is going to be my purpose and I'm going to stick my stake in the ground. This is what I'm going to do for the rest of my life. And it's to have a positive impact on the people that are around me, as many people as possible.
And that's the key. That's exactly what you're saying.
But is that a wrong way to think? Because no, I just decided, no. Like, you know what, I don't know my purpose. I'm not getting any feedback from this, say, God or whatever, right? Because I'm a huge believer in God. I talk to him every single day out loud. And I don't get the like, this is what you need to do. But I just decided that this is what I'm going to do with my life.
I strongly feel he'll speak to you in different ways. And I feel if you have that feeling, and if you have that feeling, and you'll know this is what I'm trying to do. And if it's making a positive impact, and that's just, same here. You know, I feel like my purpose is to help make somehow, some way, a positive impact on people, positive impact with people around me. Positioning people to win, and not just myself. And I think that's what you're doing with this podcast. We're communicating with different streams of, you know, whoever's listening to it, whether different social media or on the internet or whatever it may be, is having that positive impact on people. And but you got to go through that self journey. But I think you'll know.
Yeah,
you got to know.
Yeah, I remember many, many times looking at myself in the mirror and looking at myself deep. And I was like, dude, you're a piece of shit, man. Change it. And I think a lot of people won't have that real conversation with themselves.
It's about having that conversation. And we talked about that accountability. We talk about looking yourself in the mirror and saying, what is it you want? Are you willing to go through the bad days? Are you willing to go through the mud, the storms to get to where you want to be? But even before you say that question, you got to know, where are you going? What is it you want to do? What is it do you want to do? What goal? What's your vision?
The power of goals. Touch on that, because I think a lot of people don't get that.
If you don't have a goal, you don't have a vision, think of it like this. If we're to go drive out to, let's just say, we're going to some place in Nebraska. You know what? Miami. We're going to go to Miami. Without a roadmap, I think both of us would get lost.
Yeah.
You need a map, a road map of where you're going. And I think that's what a goal and a vision is. It's a map to where that lays out to where you go. But at the same note, does it change? Yeah. If we go around the expressway, there's a detour. There's a couple of detours. There's a couple of exits that we're going to miss because we're going to have to change. That's called adaptation. We're going to have to adapt our map sometimes. But what stays the same? The vision and the goal. We're still scheduled and planning to go to Miami, but we might have to go a different route. Yeah. I think same thing with your success in life. The same with your life is you're going to say, this is what I want to do. This is what I want to become. But it might take a little longer. I might have to go this route or go around this and bypass this, but the destination and goal is still the same. It's just our adaptation has changed. Being Dr. Howell wasn't a 1 year, wasn't a 5 year whatever process. It was almost 45 years in the making. You are always creating and writing your own story. It's going to take you, and we're continuing to write our story. So Josh Morales, now you're still writing your story. Whatever business is going on, they're still writing their story. And so, but the person that you are today is taking you. It didn't happen in a year.
Right.
It's been a changing of little things here and there in your life that you adapted and say, you know what? And now you are the person today because of all those mishaps or good things or bad things. Same thing with me. You know, bad days, good days made me the person that I am today.
Yeah, I almost feel like when you have a strong stance on something and your ideas, that you're completely misunderstood a lot of the times. That's just how it is.
I say that as a positive thing, though. I think if you think about all the great ones, right? I'm not trying to say I'm great, but if you think about all the great ones, they were all misunderstood. They were all kind of ahead of their time a little bit, and people didn't get them the right way, confused a little bit of their ideas. But all the great ones are misunderstood a little bit. And I think that's a positive thing. It's like, hey, you know what? That's a positive thing.
Yeah. Let me ask you this before we finish off the podcast. What's the future of the Rio Grande Valley look like?
Man, I'm excited. I think any community member, anybody that's into economic development, shop Mercedes, by the way, go to Mercedes, Elon Musk, SpaceX, Tesla, come visit Mercedes, call us up, let's work something out. Any tech, Apple, Google, Mercedes. But I think everybody's excited about the Valley. It's growing so much, and we're seeing it.
Yeah.
And there's still room here. And what we're seeing, being in the real estate sector, is this is what we're seeing. Prices are crazy. Prices are crazy anywhere else. People are leaving California, going to Austin. Prices are crazy in Austin and San Antonio. Guess where? Why a lot of the businesses, and I'll tell you a little bit of the secret, why are a lot of these businesses coming to the Valley? Why are you seeing more Starbucks? Why are you seeing more Dutch Brothers? Why are you seeing more steakhouses and restaurants here? Why? Because land here is still pretty affordable. There's room.
Yeah.
There's room, and it's still pretty affordable. You can buy a nice home here, a good-sized home here, for half the price than if we're to go to Austin, San Antonio, Dallas area, Houston area. Are you kidding me? I mean, that's like an apartment cost.
Yeah.
There's no, I mean,
it's crazy.
I mean, it's crazy. Mm-hmm. There's the future of the Valley with the right leadership in place and the right goals and vision, the people directing our the Valley in economic development, it's gonna boom. I mean, the Valley is gonna grow. Yeah, it's exciting times.
Yeah, my buddy William Esquivel was telling me that about 30% of the buyers in the Rio Grande Valley are from out of state. That's 30%. That's a lot.
My neighbor, my neighbor just came from San Francisco. He moved in from San Francisco. Like, wow.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. Older gentleman, too. Older gentleman, San Francisco. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, let's finish all the podcast and let everybody know where they can get your book, man.
So. The book, Positioning Your Team to Win, is available worldwide. It's available on Apple. It's available on Amazon. I believe Goodreads just picked it up as well. We're trying to get it into Walmart. Also, Barnes & Noble. It's available online on Barnes & Noble. Trying to also here soon. You could order it on the store, or if there's enough, I'm trying to get it like in the store. Hopefully they should put it in the store as well. But it's available, Barnes & Nobles, Amazon, worldwide, Goodreads, you name it. Order it online, pick it up. It's a great read. I think you'll love it. I just finished it off with the Negotiations Bible. If you're into sales, if you're into negotiations, even with yourself, the Negotiations Bible is available as well. This is actually my sixth book, and I think you'll love all of them. But this is my most recent one, and let me know. Leave a comment. Leave something, suggestion, how we can improve, how we can make it better. That's what it's all about.
Awesome. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Jacob Howell. Appreciate your time, man.
Hey, thank you so much. Shop Mercedes. Come visit Mercedes. SpaceX, we got some room for you.
See you guys.
Name it.
All right. Have a good day.
God bless.